Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air, here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, do call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to listen and call. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thank you, Bob. Well, we're coming to the end of the month. It's the last week of March, and we've been talking about grace and money all month. And you might not have thought, if you just caught a bit of us here and there, that we were talking about money at all. But what we've been doing is setting up the stage, setting everything up so that we can actually talk about the money giving side of it this week.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about five requirements, really, if you want to use that term, for giving within the new covenant, and that is willingly, expectantly, enthusiastically, generously, and cheerfully. Today we're going to take a look at that willingness issue, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 8. The whole week will be in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And we want to start, I think I'm going to start in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 8. Set the stage. To become a Christian in the first century Roman era was a very threatening thing. If you were Jewish and you became a Christian, you might be disowned by your family.
Right.
Your wife may have a burial service for you, a funeral, because you were dead to her now. You could lose your job. If you were Roman or pagan or a slave and you became a Christian, there were not always good things that accrued to that. Well, as a result of that, the various Christian churches, the house churches that met all over the Roman Empire, quite often were short of funds. People were hungry. People needed money. They needed help to live their lives. And Paul and his compatriots, every once in a while, would, you know, take collections from one city to another city that was in need. And that's what he's talking about to the Corinthians here in chapter 8. He starts off with reminding them that it was the Macedonian churches who started this, that they had given, even though they couldn't afford it, but they could afford a little bit, so a lot of people gave a tiny bit of money and reached out to those who needed it. And now he's talking to the Corinthian church about following through. Verse 8, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this manner. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Notice the tone of this.
Sure.
It's there's no compulsion here. Mm-hmm. It's planned, right? They've been talking about it for a year. They've probably been collecting for a year. There was no way to do electronic funds transfers and that sort of thing like we do. So people would collect their funds, and then they would identify someone trustworthy to take this money somewhere else. And so he's telling them, I appreciate your willingness to get involved in this, and you've been talking about it and dealing with it for a year. Let's bring it to completion.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so different than the way most people are told to give within churches today.
Sure.
There's nothing about willingness. There's all kinds of things about owing it to God. And if you don't give it to God, then somebody's, you know, God's going to send something bad to you. Or, you know, if you don't give him enough, often enough, maybe God himself is going to come down and whack you upside the head with a 2x4. And it just doesn't ring true. And in fact, that kind of speech, obviously I'm overdoing it for the purposes of the point I'm making, that kind of speech wasn't even used in the Old Covenant. Old Covenant giving was supposed to be willing, just like this, but it had a different focus, of course.
Yeah.
But here we have an opportunity to begin to see how when grace is infusing your life, when the Holy Spirit has come to take up residence in you, you begin to see the needs of other people as an opportunity to help them by spreading the love of Jesus to them in a monetary or clothing or food kind of way, a very tangible way. We're never, you know, nobody would think that it's a loving thing to pat somebody on the head, you know, and say, well, you know, go with God.
Yeah.
You know, that's so patronizing.
Yeah.
Here, this is grace in the practical, everyday, rubber meets the road situation of life. And it's a wonderful thing to watch. We've seen it here in our church, in our group, most recently when one of the hurricanes hit the coast, and people, we had to tell them to stop. We had no place to yeah. put the stuff. There was someone else here later who had a fire at their apartment, lost everything. People started giving. We had to tell them to stop. They couldn't put any more stuff in the new apartment. That's the way grace works.
Yeah.
And when it's willing like this, you know that it's being inspired by the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and what a blessing it is to be involved in the lives of others.
Yes.
Not necessarily through a church or a ministry, but, you know, you can do it directly mm-hmm. to others.
Yeah, there's no requirement that you give it to us or to any other church.
Right.
If you know someone who has a need and you're willing and able to deal with it, deal with it. And notice, it's according to what you have, not what you don't have.
Exactly. Well, that's good stuff, Richard. Thank you for that. And friends, if you'd like to come in and be a part of the conversation, we want you to do just exactly that right now. That's why we're on the air live every day, so that you have the opportunity to come in and be a part of the conversation. You can do that by calling 1-800-677-9377, like right now. 1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, I wish that I had an email question about a monetary issue, but I don't, so this will suffice, I think. This just came in today from Tim, who writes to us from Indianapolis. He says, as Christians, are we required to go to church? Are we obligated? And if so, please point out a verse or verses that support the answer.
Well, not only are you obligated to go to church, but you have to come to our church. You have to move to Dallas.
All righty.
No, there is nothing like that in the Bible. What we're encouraged to do in Hebrews 10 is to not give up meeting together. Now,
right.
meeting together does not mean church. Meeting together means that you and a friend or a small group of friends can get together over lunch or over breakfast. I mean, we know a lot of people here in the Dallas area who get together for breakfast and talk about Jesus before they go to work.
Yeah.
It's fun when I've had a chance to have a couple of meetings with these guys. It's fun to show up at the restaurants early in the morning like that, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and quite often what you see are little groups talking about Bible things all over the place, and then they all disappear by 7 because they got to get to work.
Yeah.
That is meeting together with
sure.
the body of Christ. Now, the reason we talk about it is because we humans were created for fellowship. We're not created to be standalone, autonomous units. We need each other. We need Jesus first, and then because his love is overflowing through us, we need each other. And the best thing you can do for yourself and for your friends is to get together occasionally and talk about the things of the Lord, build each other up in the faith, pray for each other.
Yeah.
I mean, from 1 week to the next, somebody may have gone through a car accident or somebody got sick, and you can stay plugged in with each other and helping each other and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The beauty of a large gathering, what we normally call church, understanding, of course, that church only means people. It doesn't
sure,
mean buildings.
Absolutely.
But the beauty of being able to get together as a large group is that you can pool your praise.
Yeah.
If you want to use that phrase, there's nothing quite like sitting in an auditorium with a group of people who are praising Jesus and praying together and singing together and using that form of worship together. It is really a special privilege that
yeah.
we have as believers. But there's no requirement that if you don't show up to church some Sunday, it's no different than giving. If you don't show up to church some Sunday, God's not hunting you down.
Right.
Hopefully, you've had a chance during the previous week to get together with somebody else and share. But
I think one of the most meaningful times in my life was quite a number of years ago when, for a period of about 6.5 years, I got together at 6:30 on a Tuesday morning with a group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And And it was one of the most meaningful, most powerful times of growth in my entire Christian experience. We had one of the guys died of cancer. Another lost a child in an automobile
wow.
accident. I think just about all of us went through financial ruin of some, for some reason or another. But, you know, through it all, Jesus Christ was so evident. His blessing
yes.
upon our lives and his life within us, it was just a very, very meaningful time. So I couldn't agree with you more. Wherever two or more are gathered together in
yeah.
his name, there he is.
And the fact is, you know, we talk about morning. I'm a morning person. I'm more alive in the morning than I am in the evening. But there are people who are wired just the opposite.
Like
and,
me.
Yeah. And they do this stuff at 9, 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. I've known people who got together past midnight. You know, they work late hours, might work 11 to 7 or 3 to 11 rather, get together afterwards and do stuff. It doesn't matter. All you're doing is getting together with each other and sharing in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And what a privilege we have to share him. Well, 1-800-677-9377. The phone lines are pretty quiet right now, so if you have a question, something you'd like to discuss on this particular edition of Basic Gospel, Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis. Why, we would welcome you to do that. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. Well, Richard, our listeners and friends have a wonderful opportunity to participate in something
yes,
very, very special in this matching gift challenge. Our board of directors has pledged $25,000 as a matching gift opportunity for our listeners, and we hope that many will take advantage of it.
Yes, and so far it's been looking pretty good. I don't have the absolute up-to-the-minute numbers, but I believe we were either very close or just over to halfway
wow.
last week. And that would be terrific.
Isn't that
so? And so we've got through the end of this week, actually until the 31st,
right?
Which is next Monday, a week from today. But this is an opportunity to double your impact
yeah.
for very little money. I mean, many of you out there, I understand, you because of the economy, you don't have an extra $50 laying around.
Right.
But if you've got $10 this week, it's worth 20.
Worth 20.
That is interest that you can't get in any bank right
I'll
now.
I see. Yeah, yeah.
And the impact is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to foster the sharing of this message, being partners with us in every sense of the word partner. You may not be talking out loud on a radio, but you're doing everything else because you're partnering with us in this opportunity.
You have a part in it. You absolutely
yes.
do. So double your gift. At this particular time, you can go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage. Or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours up to 6 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time. And that number, 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828. Two very nice ladies will answer your call and take your information, and you can be a part of something very special, this matching gift opportunity. Quickly to Louisville, Kentucky, let's talk to Carrie, listening on WFIA. Carrie, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure.
My question is about fasting.
Okay.
Because I've had friends who fast until noon. I have friends who just fast and only drink juice. I have friends who fast and are drinking just water. So what biblically is fasting? What are the parameters for fasting?
Proper biblical fasting would include water. Your body very quickly goes to pieces if you don't drink water. So everybody I've ever known who tried to participate in any kind of fasting at least had water, kept their systems going with water. You can live without food for days and days, but water only a couple of days in your
dehydrated.
serious shape. So drink water. Now, the biggest issue with fasting is not how to do it, but why to do it. And,
right.
and many people these days, I think, are confused about fasting. They think that if they fast, they're somehow going to make themselves more worthy and that God can use them better. The only reason you and I are worthy is because Jesus declared us to be so. There's nothing you and I can do to become more worthy. And believe it or not, there's nothing we can do to become less worthy. So the proper use of fasting under the new covenant is that we have a chance to focus on Jesus in a very special way. It's not done in order to get things. It's done solely in order to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. And if you are in a place where some particular theological topic has become very important to you, like forgiveness or justification or something like that, there are times when you, if you had the opportunity, you could spend a whole day without even thinking about food or anything else in the Word of God dealing with that kind of situation.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very positive thing. It is not a positive thing if you're trying to fast in order to demonstrate your holiness.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's too many people that are asked to do that, and they try their best, and they fail. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
You can fast if it helps you in a period of time grow closer to Christ, but don't worry about fasting in order to prove anything.
Absolutely. Carrie, hope that's been a help to you. Hope you keep listening and call again if you have further questions. Quickly to Westchester, New York, let's talk to Peter, listening on WMCA. Peter, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, so 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. I don't have it right in front of me word for word because I'm driving.
Okay.
But it's from God's hand. Everything is, you know, people don't realize that everything is from God's hand. Am I correct?
Yes, yes. David is praising the Lord here. It's, and he says, after a whole bunch of other things, but who am I and who are my people
right.
that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners
right.
and strangers in your sight. Yeah, it's a beautiful
right.
sentiment.
Yeah, that's what I just wanted to just throw it out there and, you know, make people think about it
yeah.
as Christians, you know.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, thank you for
all
doing
right.
that.
Yeah,
yeah. This is the beauty of applying important Old Testament texts into
right.
the New Covenant
right.
because you see that
right.
things
how it
tie together.
Right in.
Yeah, they tie together.
Yeah.
Right, right. People, you know, they just often forget, you know, and that's all. It was just on my mind, something I read, you know, like I said, I'm driving right now, I have my earpiece in, and I couldn't read it word for word, of course not. But,
yeah.
Well,
thank you.
All right.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes.
All
drive
right.
safe.
Have a great day. God bless.
Thanks,
okay.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Keep listening. Call again. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Let's go to New York again and talk to Renee, listening on WMCA. Renee, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. I mean, I don't really know if it's a question. Yeah, it is a question. Sorry. I feel like I want to fellowship more with other believers, and I feel like I long for it. I enjoy the Word of God, and it just doesn't seem to be there. Like, there's this group at our church that we meet once a week, and it seems like by the time everyone goes around the group and we have, like, a little questionnaire, like everyone's answering a question, I feel like we're not really talking about the Bible. We're talking about ourselves, which is good. But I don't know, something inside of me is this longing to fellowship with other believers. I guess I have nothing else to do. I work, I come home, and that's it. I want to have fun, and I enjoy talking about the Bible. I enjoy talking about God. So I'm kind of like, what should I do?
I think you're actually explaining a fairly common reality in the Christian world these days. There are many, many people who do get together quite regularly in small groups. And somehow we've gotten the impression that the Bible is hard. And if we don't have some, you know, trained theologian there to teach us the Bible, we'd better rely on somebody else's book and the questionnaires that you talk about. And you do end up talking about yourself. The Bible, as you've discovered, and it would be wonderful if some of your friends could discover, on its own, is such a powerful book. And when you're a saved person, when you're a child of God, and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you explaining the Bible to you, telling you what it means, there are so
yeah.
many aha moments that happen to you when you're reading. And so I would suggest that you tell your friends sometime, look, I enjoy doing this. I'm glad we're together, but why don't we just read, say, you know, John chapter 3 today and read that whole thing and see what Jesus is talking about in terms of how saved you can be. You know, some other time you could read, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 and just talk together about that kind of love, the love of God and how it might work in your own life. And see if perhaps you can help get them off of, you know, square zero and into the Word and find out just how fantastic it is to be able to read. You don't have to get it perfect. You don't have to know the original languages or anything like that. Just read it and let the Spirit make it come alive for you. So yeah. I think you could suggest that, and if they won't do it, don't throw them over. Continue to meet with them, but you might want to find another group that's willing to look at the Word of God and take it for what it says.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't want to. I tend to have like a strong personality, and God is just working with me on being more gentle. So I don't really want to be the one,
you don't want to walk in and hit somebody in the face and say, okay, now we're going to study John 3. That doesn't work. But whereabouts in New York are you? Whereabouts in the city?
Monroe, New York.
Monroe.
In Orange County.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we've got anybody up there. But if you would hold, I want to get some information from you. And there's a friend of ours who pastors down in Harlem, but he may know some people around you, and that might be a chance to connect in a different and more exciting way without giving up your current friends, because there's nothing wrong with them. It's just you need something more. So
yeah. Well, Renee, hold. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'll hold.
Okay, thank you. We'll put you on hold.
Yeah, hold the line. Both of our operators are on the phone right now, so just refresh them of what we're talking about when they pick up. And thank you for calling, Renee. It's great to hear from you. Okay, back to New York, and let's talk to Nick, listening on WMCA. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, how are you today, guys?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Good. God bless both of you. I just have a question. Can you explain the chapter in Malachi, the last chapter, just the exchange going on there, what the writer's writing about tithing, and when he says robbing God, and why does he encourage us to give, and see if I will not pull out blessings. Can you just explain that exchange to me? I'm not too familiar with it.
Okay, so the whole book of Malachi, this short little letter, is really about people who have approached God and said, so what have you done for me lately? And Malachi is trying to explain to them that God has been blessing them all along. This is after the Babylonian captivity. They've come back and the wall has been built in Jerusalem and people are living there, but they've kind of lost their drive. And the reason the people have lost their drive is that the leadership, especially among the Levites, have lost their drive. And instead, what they're doing, they're using money for their own houses. They're using, they're ignoring God's house and all of this sort of thing. And Malachi is calling them back to the covenant under which they live, where the tithe was to be used to support the Levitical priesthood, to support the widows and the orphans, and to support the strangers who were coming through the area. And they had stopped doing all of that. And God said, how can I bless what you're doing instead of what you're supposed to be doing? And so in the context of the Old Covenant, Malachi is a wonderful statement of what the tithe is supposed to be, the beauty that it is supposed to be. And if we would start thinking of the things of God instead of thinking about ourselves, life would be a little bit better. Sorry we're out of time. I wish I could go a little farther on that, but Bob has to close
Thanks.
Us out.
Thanks for your call, Nick. Hey, friends, remember the matching gift challenge that we have. Our board of directors has stepped up to the plate and offered a matching gift of $25,000. And many of you have taken advantage of the opportunity to double your gift to Basic Gospel. And we hope that many more of you will step up as well and support this ministry. And we're here every day on the air to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope you'll take advantage of the double matching gift challenge. BasicGospel.net. Check the website for the link or call 1-800-727-2828. And we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.